the signal. Wait for it.
Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
We have a special guest. We're calling Tampa, Florida tonight. So we've had guests from Utah, of course. We've had guests from North Carolina, Tennessee, and all over the country. So right now we're in Tampa, Florida, and Cody Manning joins us. Cody is with a company, and I want to make sure I get this right. So would you pronounce the company name for me?
Yeah, that's fine. my parents still mess it up every once in a while. Uh-huh. So it's a Blitzalytics.
Blitzalytics.
Yep.
Okay, now tell me what Blitzalytics does. Now, I have talked to one of the co-founders, Jack. I talked to him in Layton, Utah, and he turned me on to you about being a wrestling fan. Tell us a little bit more about Blitzalytics.
Well, Blitzalytics, we started off, we all met through sports management worldwide. A lot of us took their football general manager and scouting course or their football analytics course. And Jack and our other co-founder, George, they found that like there's not really a medium in between getting a real job in the uh-huh. sports industry and like graduating with your degree, because I also have my sport management degree from a local university here in Tampa. Uh-huh. And they wanted to create a online platform where you can build your sports portfolio, whether that's through articles, podcasts, scouting reports, whatever it is, to help you further yourself within the industry. And I met with them in the class, and then they told me about it. I was all on board, and we kind of grown into a media site as well, while giving ourselves a platform to further our name, within the industry, getting more recognition. And we just growing it by the day and adding more people that want to grow their portfolios and work full time eventually.
I don't know how much you can talk about this end of it, but I did talk to Jack. He said that you guys have an opportunity to go on to a national TV program. Can you talk about that?
I can't give any major details yet. Uh-huh. I know we are in the first couple rounds of like the application process, but we're, last I heard, we are still waiting on that. Mm-hmm. That is something more Jack's and George's and some of the guys that own majority of the company, but it's something we're definitely excited about. We hope that does happen for us, because it'll just help build more brand awareness, and of course eventually hopefully maybe getting a big time investor into the company.
That would be awesome. I'm not going to mention the program because I don't want to jinx your or do anything that might, say, oh man, you shouldn't have talked about that. So I know what it is. I'm not going to jinx you, but it is exciting for you guys. If you can get on that program, woof, that would be awesome. I'm impressed.
I'm praying on it.
Oh, and I got my fingers crossed, and I hope Jack will let me know as soon as he finds out one way or the other. And what a great guy Jack is, by the way. We got to give him some props, and he works really hard with you guys, doesn't he?
Yeah, Jack's he's a great guy. He puts everything into this company. We've worked so long together. We have a nice little core of us, about six, seven of us.
Uh-huh.
And we've kind of became family. Even though we're all over the country, we talk every day. Not just to grow about the business, but we talk as friends, whether it's personal life stuff, and of course like football and sports, all that type of stuff.
Now, are you going to be concentrating on football, or are you going to branch out into other sports?
Well, we are right now just for football, but I know Jack has expressed the idea from the beginning that ideally we will have all the sports covered, so we can create different, more, platforms for people to build their portfolio, not just to fully focus on football, basketball, wrestling, or baseball, and we MMA, we want to eventually get everywhere, but we have that tunnel vision on this and growing this first, and then we can hopefully expand.
Yeah, we're speaking to Cody Manning. He's with a company called Blitzalytics, and they are a kind of almost, I don't want to call you a startup company because you guys are already out there doing things, but I'm really excited to know you guys, because I think you got a good product, and we'll talk more about that at another time. But Cody, I wanted to tell you how I met Jack, because I went into a restaurant that he works at, and I'm wearing my WWE pants and also wearing some, I think it was a wrestling t-shirt, might have been Adam Cole, baby. And he just kind of snickered at me and started laughing, and we started talking about podcasting and stuff. And he says, "I know a guy that you got to meet." And I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, because we were supposed to meet on WrestleMania Sunday. They said, no, we got to watch WrestleMania." And Cody, you're my kind of guy right there. You got to watch Mania, right?
Oh, yeah. Mania, any of the pay-per-views. I don't know how many meetings I had to tell him, like, "Hey, this Sunday is a pay-per-view, so I'm out." But I'm definitely not missing WrestleMania. I was supposed to go this year, but we end up having to pull back. But I was lucky enough to attend the one in Orlando when it was here for WrestleMania 33, and that was a very memorable event for me. One of the most funnest days I've had in a long time.
Okay, let's talk about professional wrestling, because that's what we do on Turnbuckle Trash. We talk about professional wrestling. We don't call it sports entertainment. We call it pro wrestling. So, Cody, what is your background as being a fan and professional wrestling?
Well, it started when I was really young. It just happened to just turn on the TV, you know, back when I was born in 88, so this is probably early 90s, when Hulk Hogan, it was big. I had a little doll. You remember those big old, those dolls they had? My parents got me one, so I was automatically, I mean, who wasn't a Hogan fan back then?
Right.
I really don't have much, like, memory of, like, matches or anything that young. I just remember always watching it and just being into it every week, getting the video game and playing it on my Sega Genesis all the time. And then when I really was into it was when the Attitude Era, you know, kicked off. So I was, you know, big Stone Cold fan, big DX, The Rock, and then, of course, the Monday Night War. So I was a Sting fan. I remember you probably can recall, like, I remember back in the day, you know, it wasn't like you could DVR or anything. So it's like you got to pick and choose your moments. If you're watching WCW, you know, or Monday Night Raw, which one you wanted to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, I was a big Attitude Era fan. And I'll be honest, like, when I got into, like, my senior year of high school, I was so busy with sports and everything, and we always had practice on Monday nights, and so I kind of, like, you know, got away from it while still, like, somewhat paying attention. Uh-huh. And then my roommate, about probably late 2000, early 2009, 2010, he got me back into it, and we were watching Raw, you know, SmackDown every week together, and then I haven't missed an episode since, and I'm back into it. And like I mentioned, I went to WrestleMania when it was down here, and then anytime that they bring a Raw or SmackDown here in Tampa, I'm always going. So,
hey, let me ask you a question real quick.
Go ahead.
When you went to WrestleMania 33, what was the best moment about that entire weekend? Or one of the best moments?
Well, I'll say this, because one thing I did not know about was WrestleCon. So my friend told me about it. I'm like, yeah, let's go. I didn't realize how, like, easy access you would have to wrestlers. You know, you got Ric Flair walking in front of you. You got Hacksaw Jim Duggan just chilling in the corner. And that was just so memorable. Like, I remember, I was just walking to the bathroom, and Chavo Guerrero is right next to me, and we make a comment to each other. And then we see Raven walking around, and then you take picture, or you can do pictures and autographs with the wrestlers. And so, like, my buddy was a big Sting fan, so we went and met Sting. And then when I was growing up, I was, and he still is, Jeff Hardy's one of my favorite wrestlers. The Hardy Boys are one of my favorite tag teams. And so they had a long line. I didn't care. I got in that line, finally got up to them, took a picture with them. I remember I got to talk to Jeff, and I was like, man, when I was a little kid, I used to jump off the corner of my my couch and do a swanton bomb because of you. And, he, you know, we had a little moment, because, like, Matt was busy before we took the picture. So I had a little moment with him, and that was, like, a really cool moment. But, like, just everything, like, then we did the NXT TakeOver, and it was pretty crazy after NXT. The entire crowd took over. Downtown Orlando, where people are from the bars looking at us. What are these people doing? We're walking down the middle of the street chanting NXT, 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 and all types of chants. It was a pretty cool moment. And then WrestleMania was just great. You know, I enjoyed that whole event. And, you know, at the time, I thought I saw Undertaker's last match. So I that was my memory I left with. Oh, and of course that was the Hardy Boys return. So like to come full circle.
Yeah, to run into them and then see them there. Nobody really knew they were coming. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, and I didn't. I totally forgot. Just slipped my memory when I met the Hardy Boys. I had my Chris Jericho, You Just Made the List shirt on, I tried to get a hit because there's rumors going on that weekend that the Hardys might be returning to the WWE.
Right.
And I kind of said like, hey, you guys coming back? And they go, I don't know. Maybe we might make the list soon. And I was like, the way they said it, I remember leaving. I told my friend, I'm like, they're coming back. They're coming back. I tell you. But I wasn't thinking Mania. I was thinking maybe in a couple months or whatever.
Right.
And then when that music hit and that crowd, it just erupted. It was one of the loudest like moments I've been a part of. And I just remember just freaking out because just my favorite tag team of all time.
Now, when you talked about the crowd erupting, a wrestling crowd is just unique. I've been to several major rock and roll concert, country concerts, and I've been to major shows in St. Louis and in Memphis and places like that. But to hear a wrestling crowd really pop for one of the performers, there's nothing like it, is there?
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about what? It's a WrestleMania, too, so you're talking 70,000 people.
Right.
Just all at the same time, like, oh my, you know, one of the most legendary WWE tag teams just returned after, what, a 10-year hiatus?
Yeah.
Like people are freaking out. I mean, if people go to YouTube and pull up that clip of them coming out, they'll see the crowd freaking out. I wish I could, my buddy, he has a video saved because he started recording videos when it happened, and just me just like screaming into the camera, like, I can't believe this just happened. They just came back. And
that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like you said, there's something about when everybody pops for something. And I've been to, you know, I was lucky enough. I went to the College Football National Championship game a few years ago between Alabama and Clemson, and that still couldn't match the electricity of a WrestleMania crowd.
Yeah, and those are just incredible crowds. Anytime you get to go to a live event, there's something about the connection between fans and the wrestlers themselves that I think is unique to sports altogether. I was going to ask you, when you talked about Chavo Guerrero, did you hear the recent news about Chavo having a new promotion that's getting ready to hit the ground?
I did hear about it. Mm-hmm. I haven't had much time to like look into it.
Yeah.
To give a quality input on it. But I mean, he's got a family background in wrestling, so if anybody can make it work, I definitely believe he can.
Yeah, he's teaming up with Alberto El Patron, and they're doing a lucha style show. And just a few weeks before that was announced, I was in Salt Lake City at an independent event, and Marty the Moth Martinez, if you know who he is from Lucha Underground, was there, and I had met Marty a few times, so we were just kind of talking before the show, and he was kind of hinting that something was in the works, but he couldn't tell me because he didn't know a lot of the details. And I'm hoping Martin will be able to hook up with those because he's a great performer. And have you heard anything about Lucha Underground at all with coming up with the season 5? I haven't heard a thing.
No, I haven't heard anything on that. I haven't really followed them recently, so I'm not sure, but I haven't heard anything in the recent news from what I've been looking on as far as my little websites or fan pages of wrestling.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the state of the WWE right now. You as a fan, you as a sports writer, and someone who knows a little bit about the entertainment business, I wanted to ask you what you think is going on in the WWE right now. Are they getting too much heat from fans and fanboys and the marks like us?
I mean, they are, but I also believe they rightfully so deserve it because I feel like this roster had the current roster, they have tons of talent, but the stories they've been getting too stale. A lot of repetitiveness is going on. And my biggest gripe though is like they just they're pulling people up from NXT too fast, and it's just people are getting they're getting lost on the main roster. And what was Man, I was just talking to this about my friend the other day. I can't think of the group name because it's been so long since I've been on TV. It's with Killian Dane, Eric Young,
Oh, Sanity. Yeah,
Sanity. Yes, for
they
example.
completely broke them up, man.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean that they were, they were some tough SOBs on NXT. Like you did not want to mess with them. And then they what? They came up to. They got called up to the SmackDown, I believe. I think they appeared on maybe an episode or two. Recorded a few promos, and then next thing you know it, never heard from them again. And that's why I'm just like, I feel like you guys got a lot of talent, but you just got to use it right. But also, don't just rush people up on the main roster just because.
I got to agree with you. What they've done with EC3, I mean, Ethan Carter
Oh, yeah.
III was such a star and impact. And then in NXT, he cut some of the best promos I'd had heard in years. And then he gets up to the main roster and he's not even mid-card. I mean, he barely even shows a blip on the radar sometimes.
Yeah, they took him out, what, like last week just for Seth Rollins to hit him with a chair, and he finally made an appearance. Like, I don't know if it's like Vince holding grudges because like some of these guys were stars in TNA and Impact, but it's like, I feel like, even though he's had some pushes and now he's getting a title match, but it's like I feel like Samoa Joe could have had some good runs. Like he's sold out buildings before, but you got him working like a USA Championship match. Instead, you got Baron Corbin trying to, sell tickets when you guys were struggling for stomping ground. So it's, I just feel like I feel like they got the right guys there. They're just not using them the right way.
I like to say on our Turnbuckle Trash that when we criticize as fans. You know, we know what we like, we know what we don't like. And I have seen them do the same thing with people like Samoa Joe. You've got people down in NXT right now, like Punishment Martinez, who goes by, I can't remember now, Damian something. But he, what a great performer in NXT. Why can't the creative department see something in these people that we as fans see? And then they push Baron Corbin, and I am a Baron Corbin fan, but I'm getting tired of Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I feel the same way about him. Like, I'm not trying to bash him. It's like, all right, can we move on? Like, I thought he was fired at the GM like way back in December, but he's still like calling shots. So it's very, very confusing. And I mean, I don't know. Like, I try. You never know what the buy into these reports on the dirt sheets and whatnot. But they say the creative does come up with these ideas, but Vince trashes them and just totally changes things last moment. So who truly knows what's happening? I mean, Dean Ambrose, I'm not sure if you got a chance to listen to it on the Jericho podcast, but he opened up a lot of eyes and windows into the creative process in that episode. So it does sound like things are, kind of getting a one man control over things. But like I said, I want to know why. Like, it's like you guys got it. You can create stories, so like let's let them run with it instead of like trying to micromanage everything.
We're speaking with Cody Manning on Turnbuckle Trash. Cody works with a company called Blitz Analytics, and we talked about his company a few minutes ago. But I wanted to talk to Cody a little bit more of specifically. I like to call the show the Super Letdown in Saudi Arabia. Have you ever seen a pay-per-view worse than that? It
It's
was
gonna be,
bad, man. You got to admit, it was bad.
yeah. I mean, I can't think of a one worse than that. So I would, it probably is. It's I really don't know what they're trying to do with with the Super Showdown and or like any of these. I mean, I understand from a business aspect that they're trying to like make money and expand their product internationally, but it just seems like a lot of the matches and they're put together at the last minute. There's no really build up for me to buy into any of the storylines. And then as we just saw too, most of those matches that happen there end up repeating themselves at Stomping Ground. So it's kind of like, what are we, is this a pay-per-view? Is this, it just doesn't feel special to me.
Now you talked about Stomping Grounds. It was this past Sunday night. Let me get your take on what happened in Stomping Grounds. And I realize that there were some botches in there in the Becky Lynch match, but overall, comparing Stomping Grounds to the Super Letdown, what did you think?
I mean, I thought it was I thought it was all right. Some of the matches were good. I didn't think there was no like I like the Kofi Kingston match with
That was
Dolph
awesome.
Ziggler. I loved how he dove over him. You never seen that before. When they're doing things that we haven't seen before, I can live with it. Yeah, and then other than that, I mean, I guess the surprise referee that was I didn't well, I was hoping it was going to be Brock Lesnar just to make it a little bit more interesting, or even just Paul Heyman being out there just to throw that intrigue out there. But I was kind of honestly I because maybe it's because I was such a big fan of the Attitude Era, but I was kind of hoping that Seth Rollins would have still did something to Lacey Evans, like took a chair shot to her or something, just cause. But WWE might have been afraid of the backlash with how people are these days. But I would have loved to see that. But I mean, I guess it was just a really predictable card to me, so that's why I wasn't too overexcited about it.
But I thought the production value of it, the storytelling, the overall just the feel of the show was so much better, despite the crowd, which was being very negative at times, especially during the finale, the big show with Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin and the special guest referee. I don't know if and when you talked about going back to the Attitude Era and you wishing Seth Rollins would have done something to Lacey Evans, it reminded me of an old let's see, was it? I don't want to call it. Yeah, it was World Championship Wrestling out of Atlanta years ago, before you were probably born, my man. And the great Dusty Rhodes had a little feud going on, and there was a valet there called Baby Doll. And Baby Doll would get involved in the match, and then one of the matches, he pulled a chair up into the ring and took Baby Doll and put her over his knee and spanked her, you know what? And I could see them doing something like that without, too much violence in there. But yeah, when she hit him and, with the low blow, I said, he needs to do something. He needs to fight back. But Becky coming in was okay with that. So.
Yeah, I mean, but you said that was my problem. It's like, you just know Becky's gonna come out. Like, it's like I know Seth's not gonna lose this title to Baron Corbin, so it's like I'm gonna know Becky's gonna come out, save the day, and he's gonna win.
Just one quick question about who would you say your favorite performers in the WWE right now?
Right now, I'm a Seth Rollins fan. I've always been a big fan of his. Without picking any of the older guys, well, he is an older guy right now, but I'm really enjoying this R-Truth 24/7 championship run
Isn't
that
it
he's doing.
great? Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's one of the bright spots of the product right now to me, especially with the whole him and Drake Maverick dynamic that's been going on. That's been a very comical to follow, especially considering you can just literally pull up your Twitter or something might have happened, like him getting pinned at his wedding. But yeah, Because R-Truth has always been a good comedic guy. He's kind of undervalued, and I feel like in some people's opinions, just as a performer, because sometimes it's more than just wrestling, it's about the entertainment. Let me see. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Some other guy. I mean, I'm a big fan of New Day. And then I also like, let's see here, Samoa Joe. Big fan of Kevin Owens. Then I'm not really a big fan of Daniel Bryan's new character, but I'm still a fan of him as a person. So I like him. I mean, who's some of your favorite wrestlers
Well,
right now?
I'm a huge Samoa Joe fan. I have been a Samoa Joe fan since way back when he was in TNA. I've told the story a couple of times, but he did a match with the Almighty Christopher Daniels one time on TNA TV, and I thought he had literally killed Christopher Daniels. One of the best matches I have ever seen, as far as violence and making you have that little bit of wonder in your head. Is this storyline, or is this, I mean, is this really happening on TV? And that's when I really became a Samoa Joe fan. I'm a big AJ Styles fan, and I gotta admit, R-Truth, that bit he did on SmackDown, when he was talking about getting some fiber into Drake Maverick's and so they could constipate the marriage, and then the crowd going constipation. I lost it. I just sometimes the crowd reactions are as good as anything else. So, yeah, I'm a big R-Truth fan. And, yeah, like you, I think he's been underutilized. And I think that they're going to keep him with this belt until at least for a while, until they can figure out what else to do. But I've really enjoyed this 24/7 a lot more than I thought it would.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a joke at first, but now I find myself like paying more attention to it whenever it's coming on, and whenever if I can come across it on social media. And from what I understand too, like R-Truth 24/7 championship is like the most like searched on social media right now.
That's awesome.
So if you know anything about the WWE and Vince, if it's either t-shirt sales or traffic numbers, usually that's going to determine who has belts. So he probably might have it for a while.
So you brought up a name a couple of minutes ago, and I'm not going to try to sway you one way or the other. He held the Universal title forever and hardly ever defended it. Let's talk about Brock Lesnar. Let me get your opinion as a fan.
It's like I respect everything he's been for part of the business, but I feel like his time has been gone. Like his showing up every once in a while just to be a title and holding the title at the same time, I've always had a problem with it. Mm-hmm. It's something I've always complained about. I always believe if you're the WWE champ, you should be on TV every week. You know, how am I supposed to believe this guy's the top guy when he just shows up when he wants to, type thing. And I mean, I will always like respect him, you know, as a competitor and as a wrestler. But as far as how they're using him, I just kind of hate it. And then they just give him the Money in the Bank, and it's like, oh, that's just dumb to me, because like you're just gonna give him the title eventually at one point to probably defend at Mania again, which I don't want to see another Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar match.
Yeah.
I do not want to see that. One thing I do wish, and like I just. Everybody knows Brock's obviously like he's a legit competitor. You know, you don't have to sell him, like you don't have to put him over, right?
Right.
Is I wish when Samoa Joe and him were in their feud, what, about a year ago?
Yeah, a year and a half ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish they would have put the title in Samoa Joe, and if they would have let Samoa Joe beat Brock Lesnar, that would have brought Samoa Joe even to another level where he's up on Brock Lesnar's level. Uh-huh. And then you just produce another star that you can actually have on the title on every week, and it's a believable.
And then they wasted Brock Lesnar with Bobby Lashley. I mean, Lashley, another legit fighter. I mean, he's been in Bellator. He won championships in Bellator, and they did very little with that. And then Braun Strowman. I mean, 2 years ago, they completely wasted an opportunity with Braun Strowman. And I think it has really hurt him when they put that belt on him, the tag team title with that 10-year-old little snot. I mean, little boy.
Yeah.
I literally started saying thousands of cuss words at my monitor here. I could not believe that. But when you said they just gave him the Money in the Bank, what was your reaction when he came down and he climbed that ladder? I just want your reaction before you tell you mine.
I was just like, are you, kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Like you, I thought we were over this. Like I thought like Seth took the belt off of him and we were done with Brock. He was just going to be a guy that fights, matches against Goldberg or matches against Taker or, just a guy that's going to be at WrestleMania or these big cards that they need to sell tickets for. I'm like, all right, he is what he should be. He's going to be a guy that shows up at Mania every year and fights one of the younger dudes to help put him over.
Wow.
But instead, he's coming out here with the money. He gets the Money in the Bank just easily handed to him. And then it's just like, well, now I know he's going to get the title. Like at some point, and it better not be later in the year. I'd rather just get it over with.
Uh-huh.
But you know how it is. Usually they put the title on him and he's going to have a long reign and he's never going to be showing up to TV. So
I didn't understand it. I said on the podcast, I said, don't insult my intelligence. I mean, you got to give me a story as to why. And I was so mad. I almost turned off the rest of the event. It just put a real, real bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. And I'm same here. And it had been one thing if they actually had him in the match and he fought for it. But uh-huh. The fact, like you said, he just walked down, grabbed it, and there was never no explanation why that was allowed. There was, it wasn't like, Vince put him in the match. Like, he just kind of came down and took the money in the bank, and we just have to accept it because I guess it's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and then what they did to Sami Zayn. I mean, he was supposed to be in the match, and they said that Brock beat him up in the back. You know, at least there could have been some explanation as to why he was given the money in the bank, that briefcase that he made into a beatbox, which, another really bad thing for me. But let's move on in the world of professional wrestling. You had told me you also had been following a little bit of the All Elite. What do you know about All Elite Wrestling?
You know, it's backed by Tony Khan, you know, who's the dad's the owner of the Jaguars, but he works for the Jaguars and their soccer team as well. And it's something that I thought they put on a good event at Double or Nothing. The match between Cody and Dustin Rhodes was something that should have happened at a WrestleMania. And it's just sad that never happened. And when I heard Dustin talk about that on his appearance on the Jericho podcast, about how they tried to pitch this to WWE and WWE didn't believe it could sell as a story. And then they just pretty much, well, Cody did it before he came out to the ring. They pretty much gave a big, big FU to WWE when he smashed Triple H's chair.
Loved it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's something exciting. You know, they got the money behind it. So it's not like that you can trust that they'll be there. They got the good TV deals with, they'll be on TNT, I believe, starting in, I want to say September. They got Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. So they got young stars that are not like stars just because they are in the WWE. These are guys that made it out in New Japan and Ring of Honor, you know, and all the independent scenes. And then and some of the other people, I'm just excited to see new faces that I haven't seen before. Because I don't follow the independent scene too closely to know some of these guys. So it's nice to see some new faces. And they just want to get back to wrestling, which I'm excited about. And if they do what I believe they can do, I feel like this could be like the Monday Night War between WCW and WWE, where this could help actually make the WWE product better because there's actually legit competition.
But you've seen some of the fanboys and some of the marks out there on some of the pages that they think All Elite is going to put WWE out of business. Will that happen?
I don't believe so. No, I'm not one of those guys. Like I definitely want to see them, you know, succeed and make the business better for everybody and create more opportunities. But other than that, WWE, it's Vince McMahon. They got all the money all in the world. I mean, the only way they're going to be able to do that is like they like legit would have to like sell all these fans to not go to WWE events, which people, even with the product and the current state that it is, people still do show up for the WWE. So that's a daunting task to say that it will happen. I mean, if that's something that happened, that you're talking probably 10, 20 years from now.
Oh, it's going to be a long time. Now, one of our friends of the program is the MK Bandit. You probably don't know who he is, but he's a wrestling manager. He's done some work with Tommy Dreamer in the past, and he's getting ready for an event in Brooklyn, New York. He's on the independent scene, but he works as a manager. And we've had MK on the podcast with us, and he made a statement one day that I'd like to ask you a little bit about. His statement was, there are wrestling fans, and then there are WWE fans. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. There's people, like, I totally get it. You know, there's people that love, like, just the in-ring performance, you know, and not, like, the everything outside the ring that WWE is, you know, with the entertainment, the flashes, you know, the pyro, you know, all that, I don't want to call it a circus, but like circus type stuff that can just get your type of attention. And I definitely could see that. And then it's like, it's because it's all like, you know, it's a TV show. It's there's something people can just watch easily at their homes. And, you know, wrestling fans, they'll, wrestling fans will watch wrestling because it's wrestling. They don't care if it's WWE, they don't care if it's NJPW, but they don't care if it's Lucha Underground. They're watching everything, and they're a fan of it all, regardless of what the name of the promotion is.
Well, Cody, we've enjoyed talking to you. We've got a big pay-per-view coming up in Philadelphia with the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Now, they are going to be in Philadelphia, the home of Extreme. Do you think they'll actually let them get Extreme?
Based on the recent years, no.
No, I agree, man. I agree. I said, why was Extreme about that? I mean, they had matches that had absolutely no stipulations, and they just had regular matches, little championship match here, one or two, table matches. I think every one of their matches should have some sort of stipulation, some sort of storyline that makes it extreme. That would make the event just a lot more fun. And then All Elite is coming out with their All Out pay-per-view on August the 31st at the Sears Arena in Chicago, selling out that arena in 15 minutes. That's kind of incredible.
That's awesome for them. That just shows like what they have done to build their brand and build the recognition. And they of course they got a couple events too. Like they got their event Saturday. I think it's Fyter Fest. I think that's it. As well, it's either Fyter Fest All Out. Yeah, and that's on the PR app. I'm gonna try to use that. See how that works for them. And yeah, man, it's great that they sold out in 15 minutes. And just to go back on, really touch on what how you explain the Extreme Rules. That's how my I share the same sentiment where it's like every year, the last few years, it ends, and I'm like, I just don't understand how hard it is to have one at least every match have one stipulation. Shouldn't
Okay,
be that hard.
one more question, and I'm just going to get your opinion on this one. The WWE Network has been a boon. They have, I think, 1.5 million subscribers right now on social media. They have over 3 billion followers on all the different platforms of social media. But do they have too much as far as their pay-per-view quality shows? Do they have enough time to set them up? Your opinion.
If they can just get back to sticking to the one pay-per-view, I know they cut down the pay-per-views like a year ago, and if they can do that without doing this many these super showdowns, all those, like cut those out too, and just do one pay-per-view a month, I think they can build up to it the right way. Because I love the network. That's only just $10 a month that I can watch. I mean, every pay-per-view, sometimes they have some good quality shows on there. I just wish they would get back to creating more original content instead of coming up with the original content and then just like canceling it after a season.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Cody, it's been a great talking to you. Cody Manning from Blitz Analytics, and I hope I got the name right. I wish you the best in your endeavors because I think you guys got a real good shot on getting on that program that I still won't mention. But keep me informed, and anytime you want to talk professional wrestling, you are more than welcome to join us.
Sounds good, man. Pleasure talking to you. Love talking wrestling. And yeah, anybody have paid attention? It's splitsalytics.com. You can check out all our work. We got podcasts. And if anybody's on Twitter, my Twitter handle is at Cody Talks NFL.
At Cody Talks NFL. Well, good luck with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of my favorite teams in the NFL. I don't know about the Tampa Rays in baseball. I haven't made up my mind about them yet. But hey, but good luck with what's going on. And like I said, anytime you want to hop on, feel more than free to give us a call. Okay?
All right, sounds good.
Zane is next on Turnbuckle Trash.